Amen. Go ahead and please be seated. Good morning. Hope that you're doing well on a beautiful Sunday morning. If you're with us, great to have you with us here this morning, and I hope that you've had an enjoyable time so far and that you'll continue to enjoy yourself as you continue to worship with us here today. Well, I definitely want to thank Greg and Rose for coming up here and sharing their life and how God has changed their life. Amen. I'll give them a hand there. And I'm really proud of the both of you to see the ways that you guys have allowed God to work in your life. It was an absolute joy studying with you guys, building a friendship with you, and really believe God has some great plans for you. And I was telling my wife, I go, man, I was sitting in the back and I was getting teary-eyed. Had nothing to do with the hormones, but I was getting teary-eyed at the back. Just because they were really moving my heart to really see the ways that God has truly worked in their life. And so look forward to seeing the way that God will continue to work in your hearts and in your life. I do want to welcome a dear sister to us. She's been, she's of course, been battling health challenges, and I see that she's with us here this morning. It's great to see her. Of course, Rosa is with us. It's great to have you with us here this morning. Always pleasant to be able to see your very encouraging face and warm smile. Definitely great to have you with us here this Sunday morning. Of course, great to have Danielle here with us. Of course, he's going to be an Ottawa U student in the fall, so look forward to having him here in the fall. But definitely great to have you with us here this weekend as he's been coming here, seeing the city, seeing what kind of church it is. So hopefully made a good impression, and hopefully you won't change your plan. Hopefully you'll come back in the fall and be a part of the Ottawa church. So, Okay. Well, we have some food, a potluck afterwards, and maybe that'll convince you. But if you ever want to convince a campus student to stick around, just have some food at the back, and I'm sure he'll be like, wow, you know what? That was the selling point. It wasn't the singing, it wasn't the message, it wasn't anything except they had some potluck food at the back. But it seems like we don't have enough. But we do have a lot of sweets, it seems. Today, I guess people decided to bring a lot of cupcakes. We have a lot of cupcakes. We have a lot of cakes. Hopefully, some of the kids will be bouncing off the ceilings today. But hopefully, we'll do our best to make things work afterwards for our potluck lunch. Well, next week is the Women's Night. There'll be an announcement later on to follow in about a month. Sunday, May 27th, we have a Canadian prayer and fasting and also our special missions collection. On Sunday, May 27th, that'll be a great time. And of course, on Saturday, May 26th, we have our talent show. So it'll be a very encouraging weekend. But next week's going to be great. Women are going to have a fantastic time. Tony Singh from Boston is going to be preaching the word next week. So definitely, if you're visiting with us, definitely want to invite you back to next Sunday. It's going to be a very inspiring worship service next week. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, begin reading in verse 7. You know, as a church, we've been studying out about the kingdom of God. So, if you're visiting with us, we as a church, we've been studying out the kingdom of God on Wednesday nights. Really looking at Matthew's 5, chapters 5 through 7, where Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. And really looking at the kingdom of God, the kingdom lifestyle, and what it's all about. And I do hope that as a member of the congregation, I really hope that the study, the discussions have been really stirring your hearts, and of course challenging your hearts, as it's been challenging mine, to really have the kingdom mindset, to really live our lives for the kingdom of God. And there's one thing, if you think about the Sermon on the Mount, and you think about Jesus' messages, they were messages about change. They're messages about changing our hearts and also changing our behavior. You know, we looked at last week, we looked at how Jesus is the answer. And we looked at how Zacchaeus had an encounter with Jesus. And because of his encounter with Jesus, his life changed, and it was never the same. You know, you think about Greg and Rose, that's what it's all about for them. When they really got to know Jesus and put his teachings into practice, Their life was changed. And as we talked about last week about Zacchaeus and how you saw his heart change, you also saw his behavior change. And so today we're going to continue. We're going to look at Luke chapter 3 as we begin our study here this morning. We'll begin reading in verse 7. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "The man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and one who has food should do the same." We can remember that at potluck. For ones who brought food, didn't bring food, we're called to share what we have. We'll continue reading. It says, "Tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any money, any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "What should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." You know, when we think about Zacchaeus, you think about Zacchaeus' heart and how his heart changed. Now we think about, we see here in John the Baptist, preached the message of repentance. And people came and asked what they needed to do to bear the fruit of repentance. The crowds came, and John told them, "You need to share." The tax collectors came, "Don't collect any more than required to." Soldiers came, "Don't extort money." Different kinds of people came to John the Baptist. And when you read through the scriptures, different kinds of people came to Jesus wanting their life to change. But one thing you'll find, a common theme, at least when we look here in Luke chapter 3, it had to do with either what you possess or it had to do with money. Different kinds of people, one thing, they know your repentance is tied to your money. It's tied to your possessions. You know, you think about John the Baptist. You know, why did he talk about money? Because our approach to money is essential to our spiritual lives. And when you think about Jesus, you know, he taught that, you know, we need to have the right approach to money and possessions. You know, there's a story. Once upon a time, there was a man who spent half of his life getting rich. Hearing he could not take none of it into heaven, he was greatly distressed. The man pleaded in many prayers, night after night, that God would make an exception for him. Finally, God said to the man, "Look, whatever you can fit into this black garbage sack, you can bring into heaven." The man was happy and then joyfully spent the second half of his life accumulating gold. But then unfortunately, he died. As he approached the pearly gates, dragging his garbage sack, two angels stopped him. "Excuse me, sir," said one angel, clearing his throat. "Nobody's allowed to bring anything into heaven." The man straightened up and proudly announced, "I've received special permission from God to do so." The angels, being very surprised, inquired of Peter, who said, "Yes, God has okayed this sack. The angels were understandably very curious as to what could be so important. "Excuse me, sir," said one angel. "Could we see what you brought?" The man nodded and opened his sack. Both angels peeked down into the bag, but quickly looked up with the expressions of bewilderment as if they had just seen the most preposterous thing. Then one of them sputtered, "Oh, it's only pavement." You know, this man tried to accumulate all the gold, put all the gold in his sack to try to take it with him to heaven. Unfortunately, that was used as pavement. You know, this helps us understand that what God values and what we value are two different things. What we try to accumulate in life is not necessarily what God wants from us. And so today as we talk here, we're going to talk about, the title today is Treasures in Heaven. Because like this man, we can go through life trying to accumulate stuff. But you know, and all of a sudden, we can't take our stuff with us. But what's important is that we need a different attitude that we will talk about here this morning. But as we continue, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word that you've given us. Father, we thank you that we're able to study it this morning, and we pray that Father, each and one of our hearts, Father, would not be distracted, but Father, we'd have hearts that are open to your word, and that Father, you would speak to each and every one of us through your word as to, Father, whatever changes that we need to make in our lives. Father, help us to center our minds and hearts on you here today as we study your word this morning. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. You know, if you read the scriptures, one thing that you'll see, Jesus talked more about money and possessions than he did about heaven and hell combined. That Jesus talked more about money and possessions more than heaven and hell combined. You know, you think about it. Different reasons, but we'll read in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. "Do not store for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You know, why would Jesus talk so much about money and possessions? You know, you think about us, even when I mention money and possessions, sometimes those things are, "Ooh, okay, now they're going to talk about money and possessions." Or we can have different reactions to it based on what we see in the world. But we see here that Jesus talked more about money than heaven and hell combined. And why? Because there's a spiritual connection between money and our walk with God. There's a spiritual connection between money and our walk with God. You know, I read in verse 24. We'll begin reading. It says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." You know, what is another reason why Jesus talked a lot about money and possessions? Because money is a fierce competitor with God. Because money is a fierce competitor with God. Because time, we can be saying, "Oh, I'll give God my time. I'll go do some good deeds. I'll go do this. I'll go do that." But it says here that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so we cannot serve both God and money. But God, that money is a fierce competitor with God for our hearts. And so Jesus says in verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. You know, we live in a world of trying to acquire more and more stuff. More and more stuff. You know, it's amazing. My wife and I, only over the last year or so, we decided, you know what? Let's, whatever clothing we don't wear, let's get rid of it. Because I would go in my closet and there'd be this clothing item. It's been there a year. The price tag is on it. Hasn't been removed. Haven't worn it in a year. So we say, you know what? Let's just get rid of it. Sometimes it's because of maybe the gift that I got. I might not like it. But regardless of the fact, we're like, you know, let's just get rid of stuff instead of just accumulating and accumulating. Let's get rid of it. But I think in life, we just live in a world, we try to acquire so much stuff. You know, there is a contagious condition going around in the world. It's a condition called affluenza. Okay. And you can look it up. It's actually a term. You can look it up, you can Google it. Affluenza, A-F-F-L-U-E-N-Z-A. Affluenza. And it's called a condition. And obviously it comes from the words affluence, and it comes from the word influenza. And it is a term used by critics of consumerism. And of course, to look at both words, affluence is a plentiful supply of material goods, wealth, a great quantity, an abundance, a flowing to or toward a point. An afflux. Influenza is commonly referred to as the flu. It is a viral infection that affects many, mainly the nose, the throat, the bronchi, and occasionally lungs. Infection usually lasts for about a week and is characterized by a sudden onset of high fever, aching muscles, a headache, a non-productive cough, and even a sore throat. So for some reason, if you find yourself having one of those, you should see the doctor this afternoon. Just a little tip. But affluenza is known as a painful, contagious, socially transmitted condition of overload, debt, anxiety, and waste resulting from the dogged pursuit of money. I'm going to continue. The bloated, sluggish, and unfulfilled feeling that results from efforts to keep up with the Joneses. An epidemic of stress, overwork, waste, and indebtedness caused by the pursuit of the American dream. An unsustainable addiction to economic growth. That is an actual term. I didn't make that up. That's an actual term. Again, you can go and Google it yourself. Proponents of the term consider that the prizing of endless increases in material wealth may lead to feelings of worthlessness and dissatisfaction rather than the experiences of a better life, and that these symptoms may be usefully captured by the metaphor of a disease. You know, my question this morning is, do you have affluenza? You know, where is your heart this morning? You know, what is your heart set on this morning? You know, what is our focus in life? You know, we could spend so much time trying to store up treasures on earth. You know, the world tells us, you need more. You need more of this, you need more of that. You need more money. You need more success. You need more cars. You need a better car. You need popularity. You need more and more education, possessions. And it's not that these things are bad, because God created them. And one thing that's important is being rich is not a sin. So if you're rich, if you're rich today, you don't need to feel like you're in sin. Just like being poor doesn't make us spiritual. You know what I mean? Sometimes we think, oh, you know, the rich, they're so unspiritual. You know, I've met some very unspiritual poor people. Just like you meet unspiritual rich people. It's not about, I think there are challenges that come with the more wealth you have. But being rich is not the sin, just like being poor does not make us spiritual. It's a matter of Jesus wants us to make wise investments in our life. Wants us to have the right attitude, the right focus towards money, towards possessions. Because where our focus is, where our mindset is, where our heart is, that is what's going to drive us day to day. If our heart is set on money and possessions, our life is going to be driven by money, possessions, and all those different things. And God is on the back burner. But there's no time for God. So what becomes our priority becomes the wrong priority. You know, earthly treasures are temporal. Earthly treasures do not last. It talks about where moth and rust destroy. You know, I've had cars that I've bought, and I've seen how rust and rust destroyed those cars. I've had one car where there's no... I was driving the car, and I was like, wow, my feet feel pretty, it feels pretty soft. Open the car, lift up the carpet, I could see the ground. It's kind of like the Flintstones. You know, like the Flintstones where I could have actually taken off the carpet, put my feet down, and just start running. I've had other cars where, you know, I have this other car where, you know, I had the rust is just coming on the car. People are like, you know, you get rid of it. I'm like, no, touch-up paint. So I had one car where I had this kind of color touch-up paint, this other color touch-up paint, just to kind of stop the rust from eating away at my car. Talks about thieves break in and steal. You know, I'm from Toronto. And let's just say, this happens at where I lived. I had my car broken into. People would steal possessions. I remember one time, when it was the in thing, you had your pull-out car stereo system. So people would, obviously, for those of you who are not aware of it, you got your car system, you pull it out, you take it into your house. And one day I was out downtown, it got stolen. Exactly. That's what I thought. I can't believe someone stole my radio. That'd be thieves broken and stole it. But then unfortunately I couldn't report it because I bought it stolen. So that's a confession right there. So it's kind of, okay, well, am I going to report it? I bought it off this guy and I knew this guy stole it, so what am I going to do? So I just thought, you know, hey, what goes around comes around. So now, hey, Best Buy, Future Shop, wherever else. But you know, we have a lot of things that in life can be, whether it's moths and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal. You know, what do you have that the world cannot take away from you? You know, we live in a world where we can lose our money, lose our job. As you think about it,